Thank you. What a blessing to have a wonderful Christian family to be part of and to be able to have fellowship with on this special day. I want to thank Pastor Tony for this opportunity. I'm not going to give you a sermon, so relax. I'm going to give you a personal testimony of God's blessings to me in a 90-year period of time. And so as I look at the 90 years, we will deal with them by decade. Each decade, I will try to choose one or two or three outstanding ways in which God has blessed me, and I want to praise Him. That's why I am standing here right now. The first blessing I want to talk about is the fact that God blessed me by being able to be born into a Christian home. Those of you that have not had that blessing, realize how big it is when you do become Christians. The second blessing I want to talk about is the fact that I was born into a Seventh-day Adventist home. In fact, I was attending church in my mother's womb, but I don't remember it. But that's the story. I never knew my birth mother. She had a mental collapse before I was a year old. And fortunately, God rescued us by putting us into the home of an aunt, an older sister to my father, where she took care of us. But during that year in which we were in my Aunt Stella's home, my father was fighting for his life in the Loma Linda Hospital. He rebroke a hip that he had broken back when he was 16 years old, and he was sent to the hospital, and after surgery, while he was trying to get well, staph infection entered. And so then were days of dizziness and fever and so forth, in which he fought for his life, and God intervened and saved, so I didn't lose my father too. My father had to find someone besides his older sister to help raise three little boys, ages 2, 3.5, and 5. We were little vagabonds. We didn't know anything about manners, whether it be at the table or anywhere else. But God worked out things so that my father had to have a private nurse during his fight for his life, and that nurse became my stepmother. When I was 2 years old, she took all three of us in. I've got to hand it to her. Not many women would choose that choice if they could get out of it. Three little boys that didn't know anything about life or how to live had to be corrected, had to be trained, had to be taught. And thank God he gave me a wonderful Christian stepmother to do the job. Those were depression years. In fact, the depression had just hit. My father lost everything he owned to pay medical bills at Loma Linda Hospital. He had to start over. His first job was a garbage collector, and he had been a contractor before that. While my parents were struggling to put food on the table in the 1930s, some of you that are old will remember those tough days in the Great Depression, my stepmother, who had been trained as a nurse at Florida Hospital, was working nights in a nearby hospital so that her boys could be in church school. And that's the way it worked out, thank God. That was one of the other great blessings. I got a good first grade teacher. If you get the right first grade teacher, it makes all the rest of the way better. And God gave me that kind of a first grade teacher, who was also my brother's teacher. In fact, we were in a one-room, eight-grade school in the back of the church at Burbank, California. There was a rule that you don't go to the bathroom except at recess. We had some accidents. We were blessed in so many ways. Other people, we'd have people, men coming to the door asking for food. We'd give them a little job to do in our yard, and my mom would find some way to share what little food we had. We had oatmeal for breakfast every day. It was the cheapest breakfast you could have. We had beans the other two meals of the day. That was another economical commodity during Depression years. Some of you remember that too. I remember visiting my aunt one time during that time, and we had five kinds of beans for dinner. So it was a thing of survival. My father, during those Depression years, didn't want his boys raised in Southern California with its influences. We couldn't live at Loma Linda all the time. We lived in Los Angeles and Burbank and Glendale and all over, and we moved from time to time. And he tried to get us out of that environment. His idea was, you got to get those boys on a place in the country. We moved to Oregon three times in the 1930s. The first two times we returned because we couldn't make it. The third time was the charm. We were able to stay in Oregon at Medford, where I was raised, and God blessed us because he put us on a place in the country where we had our own cow, our own chickens, our own quack quacks, and all the rest of those things that go with that kind of an environment. It was good for us boys. We had to work. We had to learn to work. Great blessing. We wouldn't have learned that in a city environment. And then we moved to the 1940s, the war years. Some of you remember rationing if you lived during that time. Gas was in short supply and it was rationed. But God brought us a blessing out of that, because my dad was a trucker, trucked produce from California to Oregon every week. And so they gave him extra gas coupons that other people didn't have. We never were short of gas during those times of rationing because of God's blessing. I remember that wartime came, and Adventist boys from our church were going to the service. Some of them had some remarkable experiences. One of our church members was Keith R. Graves, who was in a German prison. He's a paratrooper, and was God's hand moved marvelously to deliver him and give him a chance to be a witness for his Christian faith to all those while he was in incarceration. Well, at our school, and that was not only true at other at that school, but at other Adventist schools, all of the boys had to take medical cadet training. Are there any people here that had medical cadet training? Yes, there's a hand. We knew that the best way we could serve our country and serve God at the same time without conflict was to be medics. And so the church, our world headquarters, decided we're going to set up a program in our educational institutions to get our boys, our Adventist boys, trained in medics before they're even drafted. And of course, when they were ahead of their classmates in that field. I don't know if Desmond Doss was one of those that got medical training or not beforehand, but it was a great blessing. My family moved 4 times in Jackson County, and each time we moved to a bigger ranch. And then we moved in 1947, my folks moved to Milo, the biggest one yet, which today is a Seventh-day Adventist Academy. I was 17 years old at the time, and I had to batch it until school was out at Medford, and then join my folks and my family at Milo. Well, now we enter the rest of the 1950s. In the summer of 1950, the Lord gave me a blessing of being able to be a call porter. If any of you have been a call porter, you know how important it is that you have God's blessing. I was a call porter in Kansas. My father had started setting up a retail outlet for lumber in Topeka. We have a church there, but they wanted me to sell books in a nearby county where we had no Adventist church, but we had some Adventist people living there, and one of them was one of the elders of the Topeka Adventist Church, and he was a farmer, and they took me in. And you know, it's a good thing for a call porter to live in a farm home. You got to get up early if you want to eat breakfast. You need to get on the road. And so that was good for me, and the Lord blessed. I found out that every school in the county had to spend so much money by state law on new books for their library. That was not only true with public schools, it was true with the private schools, and we had a Lutheran private school and a Catholic private school in that county. And so I'd find out who the school board chairman was, and I'd go and show him Uncle Arthur's books. Bedtime Story and Children's Hour, and I'd put it all together, and they would invest money in Adventist books, not even knowing where they came from, and put them in their library. It was real touchy when I had to sit in the home of the priest, and he was looking through my sample copy of Children's Hour. And I was so afraid he'd come to the chapter about the Sabbath. He didn't. He told the school board chairman to buy my books. They did. And Adventist books went into a Catholic school. In the 1950s, that fall, I married my wife, Jody. And we got our marriage license right here in this courthouse. And that was also my draft board during World War II. And so I have roots here that go back a ways. Well, during the 1950s, our first two children arrived, a great blessing. Like the Bible says, children are a heritage from the Lord. And I had been trying to get a call to be a minister, but I was competing with all the GIs at college who were more mature, who certainly were more prepared to take on a congregation than I was, 22-year-old, still wet behind the ears. And so I took a job. I actually minored in education just with that in mind, to be a teacher first. I took a job and went back to teach at the school I had just graduated from 5 years before, there in Medford at Rogue River Academy. Once in a while, there was somebody from the outside who was looking for the teacher named Mr. Corwin. And they finally found me, and they said, "We thought you were one of the students," because I was playing basketball or doing something else with them at the time. Well, anyway, it was a great experience, and it became a stepping stone, because after 1 year there, Elder Biggs and the conference committee of this Oregon conference invited me to become a minister. And I was sent to Bend, Oregon. I was put under the tutelage of Don Gray, who had five churches to pastor and three church schools to administer. That was good for me. You know, a young fellow needs a chance to spread his wings and get a chance to preach. When you have five churches, you preach not only in the morning, you preach in the afternoon too. And so it was a great beginning experience, one of the blessings that God gave me during the 1950s. Don Gray left in 1959 for the Upper Columbia Conference, and then God allowed me, I should say, to take his place as a conference evangelist in this conference, and I had a wonderful time doing that job for a number of years through the 1960s. I was teamed with Arvin Winkle. Maybe some of you remember him. Our third child arrived in January. During the time I served in the 1960s in the Oregon Conference, we had 20 evangelistic series, and I was then sent in the 1970s to Central California Conference, where I was joined with Jerry Dill, who was already very well known as one of the King's Heralds. And we teamed together and had the privilege of working together for nearly 10 years throughout the 1970s. And then I was called toward the end of that decade to the Northern California Conference, also doing conference evangelism from place to place. 19 or 20 series in the Oregon Conference, and then another 47 series in the Central California Conference. And the highlight of that period of time was when we were invited to hold a series of meetings in the Bahamas. And in the 1970s, we were invited to hold a series of meetings in the Philippines. So you get to know the rest of the world when an Adventist opportunity rises to be a mission, to be carry on a mission in another part of the vast work that we have. I'm going to go on now to the 1990s. In 1993, we were having satellite campaigns in Russia. In 1992, they held meetings in the Kremlin, and many people became Seventh-day Adventists, as well as many communists became Christians for the first time. We had the privilege of 93 of holding in the sports stadium. And as you would leave the subway to walk from there to the stadium, you had to walk right by a Russian Orthodox church complex. They told me that the sign that everybody could see as they drove by said to the people, "Do not go to those meetings in the sports arena. They are of the devil." Well, I think a lot of people wanted to see what the devil could do, because we had a wonderful, wonderful turnout, two times a day, holding meetings, and many people joined the church. In 1995, I retired after 41 and a half years as a Seventh-day Adventist employee. I've been recycled twice since. In 1999, I had the privilege of working with Mark Finley in Kumasi, Ghana, which is the second largest city in that country. And we actually, Mark Finley preached from the very spot where the king of that tribe was always crowned, and where he would speak to the people in that arena. It was an outdoor situation. And the interesting thing is, if you look back in the history of that tribe, they were Sabbath keepers long before any Protestant missionaries came and introduced Sunday keeping to them in their own tribe. They were Sabbath keepers. Now we enter the 2010s. I had the privilege here of, we moved here in 2004 to be near my wife Jody's parents, who needed our help at the time. And then some of you remember that I was invited to be the interim pastor when Pastor Behrman left of this congregation from 2005 to 2007. And so we had some good helpers. This was not just the Roseburg Church. It was the Roseburg District. We had Turning Point and Glide, as well as Roseburg, to supervise at that time. In 2008, regrettably, I lost my wife, Jody, after a terrible bout against ovarian cancer that lasted over 2 years. Any of you who've lost your spouse know what a jolt that is, especially if you've been married for 58 years, as we were. But in December of 2009, about a year later, God gave me my present wife, Violet, sitting right down here. Not good for man to live alone. And he knew that I needed a good Christian wife, and he gave me this blessing, and thank you, Violet, for that. In the 2010s, God gave me the privilege of being a leader of the Monday morning Bible class that Lois Rigudo started here back in the 1990s. And we've continued that, and it's been a great blessing to me all the way along. In 2015, one day I fell. I couldn't get up. The ambulance took me to the emergency room, and I couldn't walk. I was hit with a stenosis of the upper spine, the nerves. And so I was taken to Eugene for neurosurgery and then sent to Rosehaven for 50 days to try to learn to walk again. You know, I didn't know at the time that I would walk again. But God blessed. God blessed. Many with this situation never walk again. But God, I don't walk smoothly, and you know that. But I walk. And I'm thankful for that. God blessed in spite of the setback. You know, a few weeks ago in our Sabbath school class in the chapel, George Johnston was teaching that day. And he cited Psalm 90, verse 10, where David says, "The days of our lives are 70. And if by reason of strength, they may be 80 years. But their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away." I thank God that he gave me 10 years past David's formula already. So it's a blessing every day. Sometimes old pastors are a bit of a fly in the ointment. Some of you know that. But I want you to remember, in the paraphrased words of General Douglas MacArthur, who said, "Old soldiers never die, they only fade away." Sometimes old pastors never die when they should. They just fade away. But God is still here. He's still blessing. And I know he will for all of us, each and every one of us. I want you to join me in singing a beautiful song. It's not in our hymnal, but it'll be on the screen, which is my prayer for what time I'm left on this planet. Make me a blessing.
And certainly, God has made Pastor Corwin a blessing, and he wants to do that with each one of us. It's such a wonderful thing to hear how God has blessed him. Will you please stand as we sing Make Me a Blessing? Oh, I got to turn around.
Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Jesus shine, make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray, make me a blessing to someone today. Tell the sweet story of Christ and his love. Tell of his power to give. Others will trust him if only you prove true every moment you live. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your countless blessings. Top of the list is the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, to make our salvation effective and sure. We know, Lord, that you give us blessings so that we can pass them on, so that we can be a conduit of your blessings to others. So help make that possible by the leading of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for this church. It's your family. It's my family. It's the family for many and has been through the years. May its light reach out into this community, and may more and more people be drawn to that light and led to know Jesus, the true light of all the world. Thank you now for hearing us, for blessing us, for promising to go with us to the end of the road. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.